Bikurim Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph 2:1. We now start a new topic, and the whole perek will be comparing and contrasting various halachic phenomena. The first Mishnayos, let's call them the first four Mishnayos, are comparing and contrasting Maaser Sheni, Truma, and Bikurim. Now, just understand why that's the set that is worthy of comparison. If you have a pomegranate harvest, let's say, so in a normal year, there are certain pomegranates that will have Kedusha. And how could a pomegranate have Kedusha? The only way a pomegranate could have Kedusha, aside from actually giving it to the Beis HaMikdash as a gift, as Hekdash, would be either A, it's Trumas Meiser, that is to say, it's the second tithe that's taken in the years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle, and they have to be, since they have intrinsic Kedusha, they have to be taken to Yerushalayim and eaten there, in Tahara, and with some certain other requirements. The second way that a pomegranate that you harvest could be have intrinsic Kedusha B'Kodesh is if it becomes Truma, that is to say that you separate it, let's talk about Truma Gadola here, you separate it first from your harvest and you give it to a Kohen as a gift, as Truma, and then it's, again, it has Kedusha, it's Kodesh, and has to be, again, eaten with Tahara, and only by a Kohen, etc., with many restrictions. And the third possibility is, it could be Bikurim, the topic of Bar Mezechta. That's the first fruits. You set aside those first fruits have Kedusha, must be brought to Yerushalayim, and the procedure is done over there in the Beis HaMikdash and given to a Kohen. So, although in many ways Bikurim and Truma are similar, because the Pasuk refers to Truma as Trumas, excuse me, the Pasuk refers to Bikurim as Trumas Yadecha, the Truma of your hand, and therefore this is really sort of an equation that connects the halachas of Truma to the halachas of Bikurim. They're not exactly the same. So our Mishnah, and actually the next four Mishnayos, will compare and contrast these. The first Mishnah, Mishnah Aleph, will talk about how Truma and Bikurim are similar in contrast to Maaser Sheni, which is different. And then in Mishnah Beis, we'll talk about how Maaser Sheni and Bikurim have certain similarities in contrast to Truma, which doesn't have those certain features. Then in Mishnah Gimel, we're going to talk about how Truma and Maaser share certain features that aren't applicable to Bikurim. And finally, we'll say there are certain features of Bikurim that aren't applicable to Truma or Maaser Sheni. Okay, so that's the structure here, what's happening. So let's start at the beginning. It says, HaTruma vaBikurim, Truma and Bikurim, they are going to have seven features that are not applicable to Maaser Sheni. And here they are. The first is Chayavan Alein Misa v'Chomesh v'Asurim Lazarim. Those are really three of the things. So that is to say that if you are not a Kohen, you're not allowed to eat Truma or Bikurim. And if you do, so if you did it b'mezid, intentionally knowing what you were doing, so then the consequences are Misa B'dei Shemaim, premature death, the hands of heaven. And if you did it on purpose, did it on accident, b'shogeg, so then the consequences are that you have to replace the bikurim or the truma, and also add an extra surcharge of a chomesh, another 25%, meaning for every four units of truma or bikurim that you eat, you have to add a fifth one. That's why it's called chomesh. Okay? And in general, both truma and bikurim are forbidden to non-kohanim. Now the truth is, you might ask, that once you've established that there's a Misa B'dei Shemayim and or a Chomesh penalty for eating it if you're not a Kohen, so of course a non-Kohen can't eat it. And indeed the Bar Tanura speaks out that it may well be this is, the words he uses are B'chinam Hishnuya, this was taught for nothing. However, it certainly is taught for something according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan holds that a Chatzi Shiur, that if you eat something that's forbidden by the Torah, and the quantity that you eat is less than the requisite quantity that would necessitate the consequences of doing the forbidden act of eating, which is typically a kazayas, an olives amount, so then even though you're not liable to the penalty that the Torah prescribes, meaning if a person ate less than a kazayas of trum or bikurim on purpose, he wouldn't get Misa B'dei Shemayim. If he did an accident, less than a kazayas, then he would not have to pay a chomesh. Nevertheless, it's still forbidden to do so. So therefore, according to Yochanan, there is something to be said by simply saying that, in general, it's forbidden to non-Kohanim, to Zarim, regardless of the consequences of Misa B'dei Shamayim and Chomesh. Okay, those are the first three. In addition, Vehem Nichse Kohen, they, meaning the Truma and the Bikurim, are the property of the Kohen. So that means that once you've given a Kohen of your choosing Truma, or the Kohen, the basement which gets here, Bikurim, so it's his to do with whatever he so chooses. He could sell them some other Kohen and take the money and use it to buy, you know, a horse, if he wanted to, etc. He could use the Bikurim to marry a woman with as Kesef Kedushin, and so on and so forth. It's his to do whatever he wants with it. It's property. In contrast, Maaser Sheni, that's not the case. I should actually speak it out before. When it comes to Maaser Sheni, so there's no penalty in a non-Kohen eating. It's, in fact, non-Kohanim who have Maaser Sheni must bring it through Shalem and eat it over there. So certainly the first three don't apply. And as far as the property rights, so the truth is we pass like Rav Meir that Maaser Sheni is Mamun Gavoa. It's really God's property. And therefore, one who has Trumas has Maaser Sheni. He couldn't even, if he would present to a woman and say, Hare Atma Kodesh Ali with, you know, Maaser Sheni Zu, and give the woman the food as the money to effect the Kedushin, the marriage, it simply wouldn't work because it's not his to give. So the point is that the Maaser Sheni is not his. Even in Yerushalayim, when he can eat the Maaser Sheni, we still say it's not his. We say that it's Hashem's food, it's Mamun Gavoa, but it's just that he is Zoche, he merits to sort of eat from Shulchan Gavoa, from God's table, if you will. He's eating God's food with God, so to speak, but it's not his. So that's the next thing. And also, says the Mishnah, Va'olin Be'echer Umeya. If one has a mixture of Min B'mino, that is, you know, like with like, of Truma or Bikurim, meaning, for example, your Truma grapes, or your Bikurim pomegranates, and get mixed up with other grapes or pomegranates, as the case may be. So then, as we've said before, for the mixture to be permitted to a non-Kohen, there needs to be at least 101 total in mixture, meaning for every one Truma grape, there needs to be 100 Chulin non-Truma grapes, etc. So the standard is very high, Midrabanan. That doesn't apply at all by Maaser Sheni. So Maaser Sheni, if you have a mixture of Min b'mino yavish b'yavish, like dry grapes, truma maaser grapes getting mixed up with other, maaser sheni grapes getting mixed up with other chulin grapes. So then as long as you have a majority of chulin regular grapes, the whole mixture is permitted. Okay? Utu'unin richitzas yadaim. You are required to wash your hands prior to touching and eating truma or bikurim. That is because we say that stam yadaim shniyim hem, that hands are presumed to be not clean. Therefore, the rabbis, since they didn't want you using your grubby hands to touch your truma or bikurim, they said you have to wash your hands prior to touching truma or bikurim. And if you don't, your hands are considered to be a shein latuma, like a second degree removed tuma status hands. And since both truma and bikurim become pasul, they become invalidated if they are rendered shlishi, they come in contact with a sheni, a second degree, then they become pasul. So one may not touch trum or bikurim with stam yadayim, with unwashed hands, and therefore the Mishnah here is saying that te'unin rechitzas yadayim, before handling trum or maaser sheni, trum or bikurim, you must first wash your hands. That doesn't apply to maaser sheni at all. Maaser sheni, actually, as I said in the Hagdama already, it does have intrinsic kedusha. It is holy, and it actually must be eaten b'tahara. That's true. It has to be eaten when you're pure. But the most susceptible that a maaser sheni food could be is to become a sheni in and of itself. So that is to say, if something is already a sheni, like your hands, unwashed, if they touch maaser sheni can't become a shlishi, so it can't become pasul. It doesn't become invalidated by coming in contact with your hands, and therefore no need to wash your hands prior to handling maaser sheni. And finally, the hair of shemesh. There's a requirement of hair of shemesh, of nightfall, before consuming truma and bikurim. What's it talking about? That means if a person became tamei in some way, he touched a dead rat or something, or countless other things that could happen to him. So basically the last step in the purification process of essentially everything that could happen to a person to make them tamei is to go to the mikvah. There are certain tumas that require more than just the mikvah. But in any case, at the end of the process, essentially this any tummy person goes to the mikvah. When they come out of the mikvah, they're still called the tevul yom. They're considered someone who went to the mikvah that day. And there's a vestige of tuma still on that person, which renders that person essentially a shein l'tuma. His whole person, not just his hands, his whole body, is still got a secondary status of tuma. And that being the case, as a shein l'tuma, he may not eat truma or bikurim, which, you know, is forbidden unless, you know, because it can become even a shlishi, so it's forbidden for a sheni to eat it. Masha enkin, that doesn't apply when it comes to Meister Sheni. A person could eat Meister Sheni even as a Sheni L'tuma, second degree Tuma status, no problem. It doesn't affect. Just jump out the mikvah, and there you go. As for the Trum Bikurim, once the Tavul Yom, the day in which he went to the mikvah, so when the day is over, when it's Hair of Shemesh, when nightfall comes, three stars comes out, Seisu Kochavim. So at that point, the vestige that was left with him from the mikvah is gone. And he's tahor to eat truma and bikurim, no problem. I have to say that there could still be a vestige of tuma lasting on him if he had to bring some korbanos. Then it's called the mechusar kippurim, and he'll have to bring korbanos the next morning. And until that time, he can't eat other kadshim. He could eat truma, just not kadshim. That's a side point, not relevant to our Mishnah. Okay, fine. So in all those things, masha ein kein b'maaser, none of those things apply to maaser, as I just explained as it went along. They only apply to Truma and Bikurim.